So continue our discussion of Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, why we have it. So let's start with a question. Let's start with a question today. And the question I want us to ponder for a few moments is the following. We discussed last class, we started this, I'm going to continue today, the importance of the land of Israel. We already mentioned how half the mitzvot are only able to be kept in the land of Israel itself. The land of Israel is crucial. We mentioned how the fact that Jewish people were taken out of Egypt wasn't just to get the Torah out of Sinai, was to get into the land of Israel. Okay, that was the original plan. Okay, we messed up with the Meraglim, with the spies, and they ended up in the desert. But even according to plan A, one thing we know for sure, and that is the Torah was meant to be given outside the land of Israel. So I want to discuss that. Why, just for a few minutes, think about this. Why was the Torah given outside of Israel? Now, it's almost like a question which we could have, should have asked before. In other words, assuming you're God. And the point we've seen from the Avos from last class, Israel was always the destination. Avram was promised, Yitzchak was promised, Yaakov was promised. It's passed through, right? Yosef, all the Avos, everything after that point was Eretz Yisrael. That was our ultimate destination, to get into Eretz Yisrael. So the question is, then why wouldn't the Torah be given there? Right? Let's think about the question for a second. Why wouldn't the Torah be given there? Wouldn't that be the ideal location? Even considering that the Torah has so many mitzvot that are talui, baretz, that are dependent, talui, that are dependent on the land of Israel, Torah should be given in Israel. Is that a fair question? Chomi, is that a fair question? In all your Beis Yaakov years, did you ever hear that question before?
No.
No, it's funny, isn't it? So it's one of those questions like, but now I think about it, why was the Torah given outside of Israel? Israel's so special for us, plays such a major role, it's mentioned hundreds of times in Tanakh. Right? The reason we left Egypt was getting to Israel, and the Torah is given outside. Take the Jews, Lee, put them all on a LL flight. You know what LL stands for? Every landing, always late. And, wow, that gives you a big laugh, that one. Not anymore. Now they're very good, Baruch Hashem. They got much better. When I was growing up, though, it was gefährlich. So we take them all. We take Yerushalayim, or the future place. There's no base in Migdash yet. Fine. We take the Makom. We know where that was. Avraham Avinu was on Makom Migdash. Yaakov, Yitzchak was on Makom Migdash. Yaakov was on Makom Migdash. We know where the Makom Migdash was in Yerushalayim. Take them there, or take them to Tel Aviv or Haifa, whatever, and say, here's your Torah. Wouldn't that be the perfect entry into the land of Israel? I mean, it's like such an obvious, posh question. I believe the answers which you students are going to give me right now are going to teach us a lot about Torah and Israel, and that's going to be our connection today. Okay? Torah and Israel, because there is a very special connection between the two. Okay. Now, birthday girl, Leigh, you can give us an answer.
So that you don't only think that you can do it when you're in Israel. So, like, it's meant to be shown that it can be, like, you can do it anywhere you are. Not
very, very good. So, this is actually probably the second or third answer, but you give it the first one. Have you thought about this before, or have we discussed this before?
I think we discussed it in class.
In another class we discussed this, right? In relation to what? What we discussed this in relation to? Shabbat? No. I don't remember. Okay, the mitzvot. Okay. So how about this? What Leah says is something very profound. Let's say the Torah had been given in Israel. What mistake would or could a person justifiably make? Let's say the Torah had been given in Israel. What mistake could a person justifiably make? And I'll prove to you so that it is actually not only justifiable, it's actually logical. What is that problem, you would think?
It's too simple, but when you leave the land, you don't have to keep
anything. Absolutely. When you leave the land, you don't have to follow the mitzvot. Let me ask you, you live in America. Are you all bound by American law? Yeah. We are all bound. If you leave America, are you still bound by American law? No, you are bound by the laws of the country where you go. So had the Torah been given in Israel, you might have made the mistake of thinking that the mitzvot are only for Israel. That's the answer of Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch. He says that the mitzvot are not located in one place. And Hashem knew that eventually in history, we will be exiled for a long, long time, for short gaps, and then for one really big, long one. Had the mitzvah only given there, we would have thought, like any other law that is only made by a country, right? We make laws for countries. We've got to stick by it. So therefore, leave Israel, the laws no longer apply to us. But we can't let that happen. So Hashem gave the Torah dafka, which means specifically, Yehechumi, gave the laws outside of Israel, so that we, who are born and live outside, say, the laws are outside, they're not only for Israel. That's the mistake you would make. Very good. There's more to that? We'll come back to it. Give me another reason why the mitzvah were given outside of Israel. Alana.
To practice them before we
get in. Practice them before you get in. You see, since so many mitzvot are to be kept in the land of Israel, we need a bit of time of hachana, preparation. This is not an unusual concept. We saw that some mitzvot were given before Har Sinai. Can anyone give an example of a mitzvah that was given right before Har Sinai? You're thinking of a Chodesh Zelechem. Counting the calendar was given in Mitzrayim, the first mitzvah given to the nation in Mitzrayim. Very good. I wasn't referring to that, but that's a fair answer. That was given to the Jewish people to count the months and follow the moon. Anyone was given right before? There was a few mitzvahs given right before. Well, one of them was the laws of Shabbat and a place called Mara. Why? Because there's so many laws, you can't just jump into Shabbat. You've got to prepare yourself. You've got to learn. So the idea of preloading mitzvot is not unusual. Same thing over here. Before the Jews entered into Israel, they were given the mitzvot. Now remember, according to plan B, we got 40 years. Plan A would have been a few weeks. Right? Plan A was a few weeks to get the Torah, going to Israel. But plan B ended up being 40 years because the entire generation had to be wiped out. So even according to plan A, we would have had some time to learn the mitzvot, understand them, right? Appreciate them. Remember, all of Sefer Devarim is preparation for the land of Israel. That's Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of his life, giving out, what, 3-4 week speech, telling the Jewish people, you got to do this, careful of that. So laws that were repeated, Mishnah, Torah, which had applicability to the land of Israel. Any other answers to this question? Yes, amen. Wow. So you're saying, that's continuation of two, but it's his own point. You're saying the laws in Israel have more impact. So we need to have a midterm final. We need to have a midterm for, midterms. Oh, why'd you have to mention that? Everyone's having such a nice time over here. It's not a problem for me. I just have to grade them. Right, so here we are, right? You have to get ready. So Hashem says, you know what? Let me give you a midterm. Let me prepare you with a vehicle. When you get to Israel, the laws over there, not just other laws, they take applicability. Remember, the Ramban says the mitzvah were given for the land of Israel. That incredible Ramban. And the laws outside are just rehearsal. They're just hachana, preparation for. Yeah. I'll connect to number two, but his own point. Yes.
So it's like an even playing field for like all the other nations, so they don't say, like, oh, you got it in Israel, so it's not for us.
I'm missing your point. Say it again.
Like, I don't know, isn't it that like it was given outside of Israel, like to purposely say that it wasn't specified, like for one nation, like if you really wanted it, like you could have.
So, kind of, I did, but let me just tweak it a little bit.
Okay.
I'll tweak it a little bit, but kind of. The Torah was given in a number of languages. 70 languages. Actually, one thing that Yoshua did before they entered through the Jordan into the land of Israel, right, which was, we said, the 10th of Nisan, 2488, yeah, 40 years after they left Egypt, almost the day, was that they wrote the Torah in many different languages on large rocks, 12 of them, and left them in the Jordan. Some say they actually took some inside as well and carried them with them. Why? Because people would study Torah in other languages. If it wasn't rooted in other languages, then maybe later on we study Torah in English, it wouldn't fit. So already it was encoded into other languages in preparation for the future galut, for us in other countries, and maybe other nations to appreciate it very, very possibly. Yeah.
Well, kind of like a variation of what she said, and like what we were saying before, like if it was given in Israel, then maybe they could only apply it in Israel. But also kind of like American law, so it's applies when you're in America, but anyone who comes to America, whether or not you're American, now those laws apply to you. So
yes.
If they've been given in Israel and they become like kind of like country laws, then it's more about the place.
Very, very nice. So, what we're saying is, I like that very, very much. Let me break that down my way, and it goes like this. What makes a nation into a nation? So a few things. A, it's going to be land. Right? Land makes a nation to a nation. Okay? What else? Well, we assume the people there, yeah, okay. Language is correct. A unified language, right? And laws. Laws, yeah? I call this the 3L approach. Some call it the 4L approach because it's Rabbi Lawrence is teaching this to you. But I call it the 3L approach. Although one student a couple of years ago added two more, which I did like, which was love and life. Right, because we love, right? Ahava, v'ahavta Hashem, and life, we're into chayim. Okay, which is another two L's, but I'm not going to confuse things. Those are the three main features of a nation state. Could you live and be a nation without a land? Could you remain a nation without a land? Would you give me a proof of that? The Jewish people! We were without land for how long? 2,000 years. You're right. A long time. Could you be a nation without a unified language?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely you can. Right? Most Jewish people out there do not speak or even read Hebrew. Yet they are still Jewish. But can you remain a people without laws? So for us, the Jewish people, that's the only thing that's kept us going for 2,000 years. So the Torah was given outside as if to say the following. The most important thing we have are the laws. No Torah, no people. Had they been given in Israel, you would say Israel laws are equally important and valid, but they're not. What makes us an what makes us a nation, are the laws, is the Torah. That's the key thing. That's the title. In other words, the Jewish people are Torah. That's what kept us going for 2,000 years, no matter where we are, where we've been. Within Torah, there is a subset. One of the subsets is a language, which is important and is Kodesh, but you can live without it. There's another subset, which is land. You could live without that as well. It's not great. And the fact we're still here, although we haven't a land, is a complete and utter miracle, because we've been dispersed over the entire world for thousands of years. One of the greatest miracles of world history, as far as I'm concerned. You have Jews all over the world and still connected. What connects them? So their desire for the land is always there. We're going to see. We pray towards Eretz Yisrael. We mention it in our prayers. We finish eating bread. We talk about Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim. It's part of our life. It's a major part of our life. You know, rather than squint, you can sit up front, you know. You okay?
I have glasses
in my room. You can put them on. It's okay. Yeah. Because you may have put equal validity on land and law. But land is it, Torah is its own thing. It comes first. It comes first. Now we're going to take it. By the way, we're the only nation. Listen to this amazing idea. We're the only nation in world history that did it this way. There's never been a nation in the world that ever did it this way. They made the law, or in our case, received the law outside and took it into the country. How does it always work? Look at America. That's a relatively new, recent nation. Yeah? What, a few hundred years old? Historically speaking, it's like yesterday. Where were the laws made? Here in America. Where's the Constitution signed? Here in America. They came in. We're all living over here. We're like, okay, we've got to make some laws. Don't kill each other. Fine. Freedom of speech. Freedom to own guns. And all that. And they made all this stuff. And they put it all together and they made the laws. And that's always the way. People come together, live together. Like, we've got to get on with each other. So they make laws. We, the Jews, did the exact opposite way. First, we have the Torah, the law.
and we take the law into the land. Can you hear that? Never happened in world history. We're the only nation that ever did it that way. As if to say that what's the most important thing for us? That's the Torah. That's kept us going. Okay? Where do I want to take this? The ultimate destination for Torah is the land. Is the land. That's my ultimate destination. So even though the Jewish people were in the desert for 40 years, that was plan B. Even plan A, we were meant to have the Torah outside of the land. Yes?
But when we were in Egypt, we kept all the things we kept, right?
There were three things we kept in Egypt. One of them was the names, yes.
So did we have our own language already?
The reason we kept those things is because without that, we wouldn't have even survived Egypt. We had a unified language, yes. That was there. That was there. Yeah. But then the Torah was created, the world was created with the Torah. So the Torah was also, no, the others knew Torah, and they understood that as well. But there was no obligation with it. But language is important, you're right. But then you can still survive without it. As we see, most Jews do not know, read Hebrew, don't communicate in it.
Yeah.
You know what? I want to add it, but it's got no L. How can I add history to this list? I'm going for the L. Okay, I'm joking. Legacy. Okay, very, very. Legacy. Oh, who said that? Very good job. Very nice. Legacy. Ooh. A new one to the list. I have my next book ready to go. The L theory of Jewish thought. Legacy and shared history. You're absolutely right. Shared history. Look, there's a lot more, right? You can also put clothing, you know, sometime, right? Lavush. So we can definitely add a lot more. I thought of that one. Lavush and Lemon, you get that? Yeah? Yeah? No? No. Okay, so shared history is definitely part of this, and that we've had as well. But then again, there's people who share a history and don't connect in any way. Then we disperse around the world, and shared history is forgotten. Interestingly, we're not a people of history, we're a people of destiny. Disagree. History is very, very important. There's no doubt about it. We learn the Torah from history. We connect to our plan. But ultimately, we are people who are forward-looking, not backwards-looking. One of the proofs for that is the fact there's no Jewish holiday for the entry into Israel. Is there? Why do we have a holiday for entry into Israel? We know we went in. We know what happened. We have a very good description. Let's make a Jewish holiday once a year of the entry into Israel. Ah, very, very nice. It was a process. Very, very good. Coming out of Egypt wasn't a process. Leaving is an immediate reality. But getting in, integrating, is a continual process that is a constant. That's why we are more into departures, starting the process, than into arrivals, which is the end of a process. And the answer is, you're never there.
Until Mashiach comes.
We're going to get there. Yes, Dina.
Can I give another answer?
Sure. He did offer it to the other nations. I don't know if that specifically got to be Chutz La'aretz. That could have happened in Israel as well. That is true. He didn't offer it, and they asked what's in it. They didn't want it. That's a good point. I don't think it's related to... Oh, sorry. Oh, you're saying something else. You're saying, very, very interesting. You're saying maybe the fact that we received the land itself was a gift in and of itself. Okay? And that came through our acceptance of the Torah, which was given outside. That's very interesting. I like that. Very good. Because had we not said, we wouldn't have got it. Like it. Yes. Look at this. I've got that many questions before. This is great. Answers of it. So you're saying the laws are applicable to everyone?
No, they're almost like subcategories of like iron and gold. We have the same kind of gold.
Which is what?
Like doing the laws for reason, like.
That's the Torah. Yeah, that's the Torah. What's the Chiddush? That's the Torah.
No, I feel like other, I don't know, other
Okay. Let me digest that one. Purpose for the mitzvot. Purpose for the mitzvot, you're saying. But what's that got to do with Eretz Yisrael?
Also, Eretz Yisrael is part of the MLS.
Okay. Okay. So the ultimate answer is because of the mitzvot. Okay. Let's move on. Maybe what you said will start to apply more when we go further into the mitzvot in Israel, which is today. We're on page 8. I didn't see that. Yeah, then.
Just going back to what Ilana said about to practice them. But there are mitzvot that we don't even do in America that are literally only doable in Israel.
Yeah.
How were they practiced?
They were practiced and prepared. We had to learn them.
Okay.
We had to learn. Yes, yes. Just like now. Now we learn the laws of korbanot. Sacrifices, we don't bring korbanot anymore. First of all, there's a mitzvah just to learn it. Second of all, the learning and preparation for the knowledge of
they
it.
They didn't like hands-on practice.
No. No, they couldn't. There was no Shemitah. There was no Yovel. No, no. They were just learning and preparing through
whatever
knowledge.
They could do, they actually
yes. Yeah, absolutely. Whatever they could do, they actually did. Exactly. Very good.
Do the people of Israel now have to follow Shemitah?
Absolutely. Shemitah is following their Israel. Actually, if Shemitah starts this year. 5775 is going to be a year of Shemitah. Absolutely. Yovel is not. Yovel, we don't have the 7x7 cycle knowledge. But Shemitah, absolutely. Okay, let's have a look. Rav Chaim Freelander, page 8, halfway down. Tachlet, follow inside. Tachlet, you see it in Mitzrayim. Hikabala Torah. What's the whole point of getting out of Egypt? Get the Torah. Okay? Eretz Yisrael. So what's Eretz Yisrael? So Eretz Yisrael has a purpose. It is an instrument. Kablena b'Torah, kli l'kayem. So we get the Torah first, and then we're like, okay, fine, I have it. It's like having a liquid. But now I need a vessel for which I can contain it within. The vessel, the kli for the Torah, the natural kli. We've had to use other kalim, and sometimes we've been without it, so the liquid leaks out. But the kli is Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel. En lanu shum tachlet acharet b'Eretz Yisrael milvazot. That is the reason we're given the land of Israel. It is the ultimate destination to live as a people, as one nation, under one God. Oh, sounds familiar. Right? In the land of Israel. They got it from us. By the way, we live in a very religious country, by the way. I'm being absolutely serious. This country was founded by very great, I'm talking about America, very great people who had great belief in God, a great respect. I mean, I drive around, I see there's Jerusalem over there, different towns and Bethlehems.
Where?
You don't get all over the country, all over New York. He gets a Goshen. There's a Goshen 20 minutes from me. That's where the Jewish people live in Mitzrayim.
What?
We're living in a very, very, I tell you, religious, this was a very biblical nation. You know, the founding fathers, they knew Hebrew. I'm not kidding with you. Right? They came upon very, very religious principles, you know. No coincidence. But they get it from us. I'm Yisrael, lo kibul es haaretz, kedera kol amim. The Jew did not receive the land of Israel in the same way other nations did. Right? Askukum lefisas adama l'surach haimo vizo. Right? It wasn't there just to give us a physical. Why do people take a land? We didn't survive. We gotta till the land. We gotta get the fruit out. We gotta get the wheat out. We need to protect ourselves. We build walls. That's not the reason we were given the land of Israel. It's not. By then, people thought this. Israel is a safe haven. Right? Theodor Herzl, his whole premise was, why do we need Israel as a safe haven? Which is why he said, well, if not Israel, then we'll take Uganda or Argentina, right? He actually proposed those two, because for him, as a secular Jew, for him, land of Israel was meant to be a safe haven. And ironically, it's become probably the unsafest place in the world for the Jewish people, but that's not why we love it, and that's not why we want to live there. That was never the... I don't know, there's quite a few killings in Israel against the Jewish people.
We are
you think we're safer in Israel than here as Jews?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe France. I don't know about America right now. I'm not saying anyway, Israel is the epicenter. It's the whole reason of Jewish existence, to take the Torah into the land of Israel. That's the reason it was given. Okay? Not a safe haven. Whether it is or isn't safe is nishtahin nishtaher, neither here nor there. That's the reason we have it. See what it says? Okay? I'm Israel, Nola b'Midbar, we were born in the desert. Right? Lachash Yad Mitzrayim, after we left Egypt, at the Torah Kibbol Shom, we received the Torah there. V'Avsham b'Midbar, Hitgabesh, L'Mechamab, G'Hen of Goy Kadosh. It was there that we became a nation of priests and a holy nation. So we became an Am Kadosh before the land of Israel. Okay. We didn't become La Nitbasham Beres Yisrael Nasu La'am. We didn't go to Israel and become a nation over there. The nationhood preceded the land. It didn't begin with the land. Right? Am Yitom La'am Kibbutz Torah V'shuv B'meshach Arbim Shana. After 40 years, Nosfotchu Midbar V'achlu Man. We ate the man. Great miracles happened for us. Raklachamikan Kibbutz Kleanos of the Kumat Torah Eretz Yisrael. After all the great miracles that happened to us, that formed us, that created, we were ready, we were prepared as a nation. That's why with 40 years we were stuck in the desert. Why? We were not ready to merit the land of Israel. That entire generation had to be wiped out. They didn't have the schut, the merit of being there. It's a schut to have the land of Israel. It comes with a great merit. By the way, not just for Jews, also for non-Jews. You may have noticed many non-Jewish nations that have been in Israel and were kicked out. No coincidence. They also graded. They're also held responsible. Unlike nations in other lands, or held responsible, but not as much as what happens in the land of Israel. The land of Israel in and of itself is a kadosh place. We needed 40 years after the Chet of the Meraglim in order to get in. Hey, for goodness sakes, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't make it into Eretz Yisrael. There's nothing more he wanted than to get into Israel. He didn't make it in because he hit the rock. Right, he hit the cellar. Okay, now why you would be punished with hitting a rock is a big question. And there's many answers to that. The Rambam goes with he lost his temper. He lost the right to it. This is very painful, Moshe Rabbeinu. Very painful. Turn over the page, page 9. As we say in the Aleinu prayer, we're not like the other nations. The land of Israel is for us. We discussed this last class. Right, even the first pasuk in the Torah, she says, encoded in the first pasuk of the Torah is the fact the land of Israel is for us. Right, kol niflavras Hashem b'shleimus alidei mitzvos loy b'kadosh asah miyochedes. All of our the wondrous elements of being Jewish and having a Torah come through this instrument that is Israel, and that is how we serve God in a for shleimut, for completion. Zochem la b'eretz Yisrael b'ltin nitna l'asaga b'chol. Right, there's aspects of that that you can achieve in Israel that are not possible to achieve outside. There's some things that can only be achieved in the Holy Land of Israel. However, as we said, the land of Israel, the Jewish people, are not dependent upon it. We are still an without the land. We are still an without land. Proof being, 2,000 years without, although we've always had a presence in the land, that's very, very important. Many people say, oh, Jews, we've been outside the land, they lost a claim to it. There've always been Jews in the land. There's always been an element, all right? Most of your great-great-great-grandparents, I would say, were in Israel for at least some part of the time. There's no doubt about it. If you look back in your history, okay? And my mother was born there, right? Before the state was founded. So we say that Jewish people have always been there. It didn't start in 1948, okay? However, even without a land, we are still an Let's turn over the page. So let's see this connection a little bit better. And we're going to look at, first of all, a Sifri, then a little bit of Gemara, and then a Rav Dessler. And let's see what they say specifically about Torah and Israel connection. So the Sifri says, Ein HaTorah, Ketorah Eretz Yisrael, there is no studying of Torah, Ketorah Eretz Yisrael, like the study of Torah, in the land of Israel. There's some unique connection that comes with learning, if you merit it, with learning Torah in Eretz Yisrael. Now, learning Torah outside of Israel is still a great mitzvah, one of the greatest mitzvahs. But kefil kaflayim, how much more so when it comes to in the land of Israel? Says the Gemara, why? Because the air in Israel makes you smart. Avira de Eretz Yisrael, Machkin. Yeah. You breathe it in, it makes you smart. So the Gemara says. The Gemara gives incredible stories, by the way. I didn't bring them all down because it would be here. The whole course could be just in Israel, which is worth doing, by the way. The great rabbis used to arrive from Chusar's Eretz Israel. They would roll around, the Gemara says, in the dust to relive the verses that say even the dust of the land is kadosh. They would kiss the ground. They would walk around. They would walk around and pick up dirt from the ground of Israel. Listen to this. How our sages, our great-grandparents would treat the land so that a person wouldn't say, ugh, how dirty is Israel. Because by doing this, speaking Lashon Hara. Who spoke Lashon Hara about the land of Israel?
Meraglim.
The Meraglim. Lashon Hara was one of the reasons we didn't get to go in there at the correct appointed time. When they would give classes, says Gemara, in Eretz Yisrael, they used to make sure the seats were positioned so that when the sun would come up, it wouldn't make people hot, so the students wouldn't say, oh, it's so hot in this country. Lashon Hara by the land of Israel. So Gemara says, I'm just saying what it says. That is the correct dignity and correct madrega that we have there as well. We want to prevent people even speaking badly of Kedush Zaharetz. Nowadays, right, everyone's slamming it left, right, and center. Not so posh it. Be very, very careful. Yeah. It's no coincidence. The Meraglim, their main sin was speaking bad about Eretz Yisrael. And for that, and the Jews mukabel it. And that created the first of a Tisha B'Av. And they weren't allowed in. Yeah. I'm just telling you, historically. Hmm? What? We don't want anyone to speak bad of Eretz Yisrael. Especially Jews.
Okay. What happens when rabbis speak?
Exactly, Farah. Exactly, it's a big problem. There you go. Farah, I've given you your opportunity. Okay, let's have a look what Rav Dessler says. So the land of Israel itself produces greatness, just being in the land. Shasuk b'Torah b'Eretz Yisrael, says Rav Dessler. This is Mechtav Eliyahu, Volume 3. He says, people who study Torah b'Eretz Yisrael, Zochel siyata d'shmaya, Meruba, Mashefi, Mechedes. You get a certain extra abundance of Shef of Kedusha that is bestowed upon you for studying Torah in Eretz Yisrael. B'Dareinu Anu Roim. And he says, in our generation, he was before the war and lived just after the war, when we saw this influx of Jews in Eretz Yisrael. He says, in our generation, we see the young people are engaging, right? They're learning incredibly and creating gedolim in Eretz Yisrael. Right? Hem olim b'limud. He says, you can see with your own eyes. He was talking. He lived through the war. He survived the war. He escaped to England. Then he went up north. Then he moved to Eretz Yisrael, okay, to Ponovich. And he says, you can see with your own eyes what this land is doing, how it creates incredible greatness. And by the way, not only in Torah, right? Look at the incredible advancements in 60 years. Right? 70 years, we've been a nation, right, with the land of Israel. Look what we've done. It happens to be mind-boggling. Okay?
Especially with
Torah. There's a level of limud of studying Torah that can be achieved in Israel. You're not going to get anywhere else.
Are you allowed to study secular things in Israel?
Yeah. Yes. You can get smart outside, Dina. You can get smart.
I mean, you only get smarter from learning Torah in Israel or outside.
I want to say just being, that's what the Gemara says. Just the air itself makes you smart. You can also misuse your wisdom, but it has the potential for that. It has the potential for that. Just the land of Israel gives it off. Right? So he says we have to prepare ourselves to appreciate the greatness. This time with the page Rav Hirsch says the land of Israel has another role. The land of Israel is meant to be a nation in Israel, the nation in Israel, as a model role, model society. A role model society of how they act in a country. That's what we're meant to be doing. The Jewish nation is to represent agriculture, yeah, as well as commerce, militarism, as well as culture and learning. And by the way, he wrote this in Frankfurt on Main in the 1800s. Yeah, the Jewish people will be a nation of farmers, of businessmen, nation of soldiers, of science, thereby a model nation to establish the truth that the one great personal and national task which God revealed in his Torah is not dependent on any particular kind of talent or character trait. It's everything, Dina, yeah? It's all these sciences, all this knowledge should come out, and it's a Kiddush Hashem. If the Jewish people act according to the Torah and build up businesses and act as a moral society and send soldiers to help other nations when they're having earthquakes, this is a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. We become a role model society. What are you saying? but that the whole of humanity, in all its shades of diversity, can equally find its calling in one common spiritual and moral mission, our call to life. They're meant to look at us and learn from us how we act in the land, not just as people, in the land as well. The Sefer Kuzari, which is a fictitious argument, some say it really happened, some say it didn't, considered a great work, of a conversation between a king and a priest and a Muslim and a rabbi, imam and a rabbi, and actually in the original version a philosopher, as to who has the greatest religion. And the Kuzari has a whole big chunk about the land of Israel. So he's proving Judaism to a king, and the king ends up converting, at the end of the book, to Judaism, choosing his way. But part of the proof that the Torah is true and correct is the land of Israel. I'll say that again. It's not a coincidence. We're Jews, we need a safe haven, we need a land. The proof that we are who we are, and the Torah is true, and there is greatness to our people, is the land. It is the natural habitat. Let's have a look what he says. Ha'aretz hazot, this land, this is the Kuzari, right? The rabbi speaking to the Melech HaKazar, right? Ha'aretz, the Yesh HaKol Olam, was designated for the purpose of rectifying the entire world. It was set aside as an inheritance for the tribes, the sons of Israel, okay, after the after Bavli wants to say, Dora Flaga. And that's what he says, right? Bahanchal Elyon Goyim, Hashem separated us out from the nations, and he gave us borders. He gave us Gvulam Amim, he gave us borders. That's what Devarim says. Those borders are Israel. Okay. This is part of our inheritance. So, one of my colleagues, actually a teacher at Yeshiva University, who teaches the guys program to what we're learning over here, says in his book, Gateway to Judaism, he says, you can't help but notice the incredible, completely disproportionate amount of media scrutiny that's on the land of Israel. I'm going to say something shocking to you. That's the way it's meant to be. It's frustrating, it's irritating, but the land of Israel was set up with that. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes are around the land of Israel, says the Torah, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Reshit Hashana, Ad Achrit Hashana. Hashem's eyes are always on the land of Eretz Yisrael, and so too people of the world. They want to see. They're watching us. They're watching us. Right? And many nations will go and say, says the prophet Isaiah, let's go to the mountain of Hashem. We'll look at this verse later on. It's going to be related to the coming of Mashiach, to the temple of Jacob. This is the third temple we're speaking about. And we're going to learn his ways. And from Tzion, Tzeitze Torah. From Zion comes Torah. Do we define the word Zion to you already?
No.
Oh, we didn't? Oh. We didn't?
No.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear, 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 dear. Oh, dear, 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 dear. Right. You know what? Let's just look at this one word. We keep using it. Tzion. Zion. Right? People say I'm a Zionist. Let's go and look at the root. What does that word actually refer to? What geographical location? So originally it was Yerushalayim. Originally it was when David HaMelech set it up, it comes to Yerushalayim. Later on, it came to refer to all of Eretz Yisrael. But what does the word actually mean? So Rav Don Isaac Abarbanel, for years I always wondered about this, said it's related to another Hebrew word. Ooh. What word is that? What word can you see in the Hebrew? Give me a Hebrew word. Metsuyan. Metsuyan. What's Metsuyan?
Excellent.
That's what he was saying. That's the essence. If you are a Zionist, you see the land of Israel as being excellent, the best place in the entire world. That's just the basic principle of Metsuyan. Beautiful, no? Got a Devar Torah for Shabbos. You're welcome. Tzion, Mitzion, says Rav Don Isaac Abarbanel.
And is it?
Chutz La'aretz, in the Sinai Desert. We don't know and we don't care. Because it's not about the place where it was given. Seriously. It's not important to us. The Torah is the important factor over there.
So why is it not allowed to work? Like, they say we're not allowed to go certain places because we can't.
We don't care. The location itself is Chutz La'aretz, doesn't mean anything to us. It could be any random mountain at this point. It's not about that. Eretz Yisrael mountains do. Yeah, that's a pasuk in the Torah.
Okay, I just have a question.
Shh. Yeah. Yes. Great, great question. You're right. It's a very fair question. This is called being anthropomorphic, giving God physical features. And the Torah itself does it. It refers to the eye of God, the hand of God. The Torah itself does it. The eye of God, the hand of God, the foot of God. Okay? So there's two answers to this that I'm aware of. One answer is that, as the Rambam says, the Torah speaks b'loshon Adam. So the eye of God means God is all seeing. God doesn't have an eye. Okay? But we give God physical attributes because that's we learn the Torah. We need to understand. So when it says the eye of God, it means God sees all. Or the hand of God is God's Yecholes, right? Zeroa Netuya. Hashem took us out with the Yad Chazaka, with a strong arm. These are metaphors. Metaphors help us understand. That's one answer. You want to hear a wild answer? You ready for this? It says in Kabbalah the other way around. You see, you look at your hand and you think this is the real hand. And we refer to God's hand as a mashal, other way around. Hashem's hand is real. It's not physical, but it's real. We are the metaphor.
You're like, how does he wear tefillin?
Think about that. So we're saying that the real world is a spiritual world. You're mistaking it. You're saying the real world is a physical world. The real world is a spiritual world. That means you have a spiritual hand. It takes on physical form. When it does, that's what it looks like. Digest that one. What? Even so, we do it because that's how the Torah helps us understand ideas. And we know, it says, Nase Adam. Hashem said, let us make man. So they say, oh, one second. And the people may think, Rashi says, people may think there's more than one God. He says, you learn humility. That's more important. It's a lesson for us. Yeah, what?
How do you explain, these sources say that we've had Israel forever. How do you explain that we got it right after the Holocaust and that the whole world decided to realize it in 1940? What do we do differently that the whole world decided to realize it?
Well, suddenly, in what schut? That is because of the coming of Mashiach.
Like, some people say that we got it because of the Holocaust.
That's because they can get, yes, they'll give them any reason. They say we don't deserve it. Well, these people want to kick us out. They say, get out of Poland, go to Israel, and it's like, get out of Israel, go to Poland. That's called anti-Semitism. That's always going to be there. That goes way back to the beginning of our history. That was a nes nigla. That was a short window of time that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us, that Hashem's mercy, Rachamim, came and gave us the land. That is one of the great revealed miracles, I believe. Second only to the Russian Jews being led out of Russia. Which I consider to be one of the greatest miracles that we've seen definitely in our lifetimes. Yeah, all this is preparation for the Yemos Mashiach. There's no doubt. It doesn't make sense. Because as soon as we got it, and they allowed us to do it, they want to kick us out. It just doesn't make sense. You're absolutely right. There's no rational explanation for our continued existence in the land as is.
Rabbis, how do rabbis disagree with that?
No one disagrees with that.
No,
there are those that say, disagree. The Gemara says that, they'll disagree. There's two. Funny, I spoke to one of my rabbis about this till 1 a.m. in the morning this Friday night. I'm not kidding with you.
That's crazy.
I was up till Friday night with one of my great rabbis, and I was up till 1 a.m. discussing this exact topic, knowing full well we were discussing it. And basically, there are different schools of thought that exist nowadays. On one side, on the far, far side of the Satmar, right? And they write about this. They consider, everyone says Eretz Yisrael is Kadosh. No one says it's not. Some say it's so Kadosh, we can't just allow it to be set up the way it is as a secular government and all the rest of it. But even they live in Israel. Okay?
Cool.
So, the Satmar, right? So what I'm saying is, then you have the other right side. We say this is the Smicha Gulatenu. This is where it's meant to be happening. Everyone's got to go. Right? That's the other side. They both happen to be basing, we're probably, but they both are basing something upon Torah. The Gemara says, the Supas. Okay, learn these Gemaras, that maybe the Jewish people should not just go as a home, as a wall inside. Now, what that means is a discussion. But just go take over the land in one go is a dangerous thing to do and shouldn't be done. You have to wait.
But that's all the
There is an internal dialogue that is happening among the Jewish people to this very day on this exact topic. But no one disagrees with anything we've said so far.
But the people that go against the Aliyah, how does that make sense? Because then the Arabs are just going to keep having kids and they'll take over.
I hear your rationale. And they'll say Hashem runs the world and he will decide how it comes to be.
I heard there's some going
I wouldn't say that. Even they live there. But they see the way we live there and what is our motivation, they will discuss. I'm not saying I agree with them. I mean, they have a side. They have a side. They have a thought process. I believe they're changing as well. We're seeing a shift. However, we, as observant Orthodox Jews who are not from that world, we don't see it that way. We see Eretz Yisrael as the great place and making allies is one of the greatest things you can do.
So they don't think secular Jews should make.
I wouldn't say that. They say we shouldn't be secular Jews and we shouldn't be going in living a secular life in the land of Israel. I mean, it happens to be, the source seems to be saying that. Eretz Yisrael was a kli for the Torah. And we know the land of Israel is very sensitive, like we said last class. Right? It's Yochia Jewish faith. It vomits out the inhabitants. Those who act inappropriately against Torah get vomited out. That's the exact lush of the Torah. It's not the rabbi saying. The Torah itself says it vomits out its inhabitants. Like a sensitive stomach. So there's a responsibility that comes to the land of Israel.
Is it true that not
more
people are like
Erev Rav? I don't want to get into different factions right now. Okay, let's look at Rav Dessler on page 12. Okay, now he's speaking as a more recent commentator, and he says like this, Ma Niflahu, it is a Pella. Unbelievable. This is extremely, quote-unquote, Haredi rabbi saying this, by the way. Ze alpaim shana, shigalani merasin, being 2,000 years outside the land. Vech nishara avad bilabenu. And have we kept this love? We've kept this constant connection to a land we've been after for 2,000 years. Let me ask you a question. You take a French person out of France, a non-Jew, and you bring him to America. How many generations does he say French? Does he feel French when he comes out? Yes. His kids?
No.
A little bit. They hear the parents speaking it. Right? Still have a connection. Oh, the old days in Paris, on the Champs-Élysées, smoking the Galois, eating the croissant, right? So, grandkids?
No.
Great-grandkids?
That's not true.
Great-great-grandkids?
Like, I'm calling myself Moroccan because my grandparents are Moroccan.
Right. So, like, so you're two generations from. But your kids, by the way, their connection to Moroccan happens to be is the not the country itself,
it's
the culture and the religious obligations that come from your culture. That means they will do certain things and eat certain breads, right? But they're all related to Jewish life in the end.
Well, yeah.
You're not walking around wearing a fez, right, with those like pointy shoes, right, knocking around town, right? You're not walking around, you know, being hit by your husband. You're like, right, you'll have the food. But you're true, that is there. But it starts to wear down. Right, Noor, you were born in America. Your parents were born in
Iran.
Now you speak Persian. Your kids, I'm not going to be so clear. Your grandkids, right? My great-great-grandkids, they're going to be as American as American pie with Koresh on the side, as a side dish. You know what I'm saying? Right. Okay, so what does he say? He says, how can this be? So he's got a question. Let's look at Rav Dessler's question. Let's look at his answer. I'm giving you gold over here. Gold! You know what to answer all those people who say we Jews don't have a right. He says, Yan, ki en zu etzlein lomot kama etzalamim. Land of Israel does not represent a center of nationhood the way it does for the Goyish nations. Ki as kvari tachas v'kli eres kadosha shocha b'labem. If it was, we after 2,000 years would have forgotten about it. Right? I mean, it could well be that all your ancestors were in Spain. Anyone here, right, going back to, I don't know, 1492, anyone here feel Spanish at all? Right? Anybody here feel like a Barcelonian? No, you say Moroccan. You know what I proved to you? Your great-great-great-grandparents were back in Spain. Like, who cares? It's like 1,000 years ago, Mach Badli. And the not even. And you would say, oh, every 800 years ago, they were walking around Spain with the bulls and all the rest of it, hocking the Chinig, you know what I'm saying, walking up down the streets. Doesn't bother me. 2,000 years, we're still connected to the land itself. He says that is because the land is not like other people treat and see their lands. He says if that were the case, we would have forgotten about Israel years ago. If that's all it was, just a piece of land we ended in. Okay? He says, rather, Aval ahavat zu talui b'kedusha. Our love for Israel is based upon its holiness. That is something that never leaves. What is the Jewish connection to Israel? Kedusha. Iran is not kadosh. Morocco is not kadosh. They've been great countries in the past. They've taken care of us. And we should be grateful to some degree. England is not kadosh. Scotland is not even part of the United Kingdom anymore. Give it a couple of more days, probably. My prediction. Right? Irrelevant. Our connection is not the land. Is the kedusha of the land. The holiness that is invested in the land itself. That is the connection. That never leaves. It does not. We may leave, but the land remains holy for thousands of years. And he says that's the same holiness which Hashem found inside us as well. Because Eretz Yisrael is Eretz HaKodesh. The land itself is Kadosh. And the Jewish people are an Am Kadosh as well. And the Torah is Torah Kadosha. The connecting factor is the Kedusha of Israel, Jewish people, land. That is the connecting feature, Kedusha. And even Hebrew is called Lashon Kodesh, the holy tongue. So we're connecting all these things under one big banner. And that is Kedusha, holiness. What does the word Kedusha mean? What does the word Kadosh, you know, mean? At this point, you should know me in words. What does the word Kadosh actually mean? Those who have been in my beginner class, you should know this. Good girl. Separate. Separate. Distinct. Elevated. Right? It's apart, not the same. Eretz Yisrael is not like another. Shabbat Kodesh. Shabbat is separate, distinct. Right? The Jewish people are Kadosh. HaKadosh Baruch was Kadosh. How could that be? How could God be holy? Because Hashem is the ultimate in separateness. Whatever is separate becomes holy. That's what the word Kadosh actually means. Separation becomes holy. By the way, I mean, it works the other way as well. If something is separated for badness, it's also called Kadosh, right? A prostitute is called Kadesha in the Torah. That's interesting. Interesting. I got to think about that one. That's interesting. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I was just
going to ask that. There, a physical separation was made because the people were given a chance to ponder. But when we are separated, when things are intrinsically separate, right? Right? Jewish people separate from forbidden activities, we become kadosh. Well, they kadosh. These are interesting questions. I have to think about that. Yeah.
I don't understand really his question because we weren't the only ones that didn't forget about the land.
Why?
The Arabs didn't forget about the land. The Christians didn't forget about the land.
Let me be very clear to you. Yerushalayim is not mentioned once in the Quran.
I know it's not mentioned.
It's not mentioned, it's not part of it.
But they all...
Because they have another... That comes from another theory. If you conquer land, it becomes yours forever. And if the Jews are on it, we want it. And they know there is something there. They understand there is Kedusha in the land. That's what they want.
But I'm saying his question is, even though we're not on the land, we still have a connection to it.
Yes.
Absolutely,
okay, yes.
The Christians and the Muslims...
They want it because they want it. They want it. They know there's something there. They also have a quest for this.
Why? Because of the Kedusha of the land.
They feel it, yes. They feel it too. Yeah, they do feel it. Yeah, sure. Absolutely. There's a reason they are obsessed with that place and not taking over Sinai Desert. He says the Goyim also. The Goyim know this. They absolutely know this.
They feel the Kedusha.
Yes.
But don't they hear Tameh? How can they feel the Kedusha?
They can feel it. They know it's there. They know something's going on with this land.
But
absolutely.
Aren't there like 4 million places in Israel where like Jesus was and Jesus walked?
Because he was Jewish rabbi, exactly. That's where it came from, yes. So he was a Yid. A Jew, a hook nose. Yeah, he was one of us. He's part of our people.
But they could claim the same thing because he's like their
father. Interesting. They do claim it, but interestingly, what is the center of Christian life? Rome.
Yeah.
They're from Edom. They see Rome as the epicenter. Oh, they all agree there's something going on with Israel. They know something's going on over there. They don't like, it's not just for us. So that we're going to speak about when we discuss Mashiach, the idea of the rapture and the Jews returning to Israel. We'll discuss that. All this is very messianic. We're going to see, I don't want to give you the punchline away, but I must mention it. We're going to see that in order for Mashiach to come, you need to have a majority of the Jewish people living in Israel. Because you need to have Nevuah prophecy. That's our das. That comes from us.
So that's proof that they, most of the Jews have to go make out of Israel. So these rabbis are saying that...
Will you forget about those rabbis? Would you care? The Meshuggah, forget about them. You worry about Pharisee back. You worry about yourself.
Because they're influencing the rest of the Jews. And
no one denies no one denies the Kedusha and importance of Eretz Yisrael. I can't disagree with you. Here we go. Let's keep going. Let's look at Yerushalayim. So we say Eretz Yisrael is one thing, but Yerushalayim is the Kadosh, the Kedusha, and the Midrash even tells us that Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is felt particularly in Yerushalayim, and the Western Wall itself, I don't know why I brought this over here, but I did, that the Shekhinah will never leave, right? The Kotel Marvi, the Western Wall of the Beis HaMikdash, right? Why is an interesting discussion, different opinions. You can buy my book I've written inside there, 10% off. Yeah, it's coming out in a few weeks. Didn't know that.
No.
Oh my God. I mean, I'm the worst salesman ever.
Yeah, and you keep saying gave away. I was like, what?
Yes, I have a book. It's called Jew Got Questions. And it's based upon, you like that? It's based, Jew Got Questions. It's based upon 13 years of receiving questions from students here, and I basically wrote them down and I crunched the answers into short answers and on all topics of Judaism.
Wow.
What? A very easy read. It's called it's the ADD generation book. Right? Because we suffer from ADD, right? Thank you. And I'm as guilty as anyone else. So I made a nice, easy read, crunch it down, and I wrote it actually for secular Jews in the 20s and 30s, is my target market. But we could all gain from it.
When's it coming out?
God, it's being printed right now in Eretz Yisrael. And it's coming out, No, it's in English. It's for Jews who, you know, don't read Hebrew. But everything we discuss, it's all in there. And you're all going to buy a copy, right? 10% off. Okay, 5% off. I'm still Persian. Okay. Let me just finish two more sources and we're done, I promise you. So we see the Shekhinah. The Kedusha means what? Kedusha means Hashem's Shekhinah is most felt in Eretz Yisrael. That's Rav Chaim Friedlander, bottom of the page. Okay, you feel it there, right? We all feel it. They call it Jerusalem syndrome. I know those Jews who got it studying in Israel, stop taking the medication. Not good, right? But you feel the Kedusha. It's true. It's called the Jerusalem syndrome. I'm being serious, right? You get there, you feel it because the Kedusha Baruch. What is that Kedusha? Hashem's presence is there and it's felt just like Hashem is everywhere, right? But Hashem's just like radio waves can be felt more in some locations than others. So too, Eretz Yisrael, you can hear and feel the radio waves come through over there much more. Says Rav Yehuda HaLevi in Sefer Kuhn. Now remember, he's debating with Christians and Muslims, okay, and this king. He says, even the religions that came after us, right, Christianity and Islam, which followed Judaism, they acknowledge the truth and don't deny it. And they give great virtue to this place, the land of Israel. There you go, Farah, it's right over here. And they say, this is the place of prophets gate to heaven, place of justice. Even they realize, Shar Shemayim, this is the gate to heaven. Next class, we will, God willing, finish this off. My God, it's taken a long time. No problem, it's good stuff. And we'll talk about how Hashgacha, Pratit, of personal affairs, is more keenly felt in Eretz Yisrael as well. Okay. Great class. Thank you, everyone.